Good to be here tonight, to be able to stand here on holy ground, what I consider holy ground. Our preacher, you know, preaches the Word of God from here, and I don't take it lightly when he asks me to preach. And it's always a struggle for me to know what God wants me to bring. And first part of the week, I concentrate mostly on my Sunday school lesson. And I try to get that done. And then I have to forget what I did and put that aside. And then I have to start on something else. And then you got to find out what God wants you to bring. It's easy to just get up here and say something. But if God's not in it, it's not going to do much good. So I've got four or five different places I was reading and trying to get what God wanted me to do, and I got frustrated because I couldn't figure out what he wanted me to teach on. You know, I just could not figure it out. And so, but I don't worry about it because he will give it to me before time gets here, you know. So finally I had to get down to business, and I asked God. I said, okay, God, you want me up there. You're going to have to show me what you want me to preach on. And it hit me just like a sledgehammer did. About 3 months ago, I was at work. It was on a Saturday night, and it was about an hour and a half for time to go home. And God said, get a message. I said, what for? I didn't say much because I went ahead and did it. I sat down for 2 hours, and God completely filled everything that I wrote down. And I thought, the last time you did that, I had to use it immediately. And I didn't want to be able to say, I got something ready, I'll preach, because preacher couldn't make it. So I stayed up most of the night praying for my preacher that he would be here. And he was. And I was relieved. And I put this back. And God said, that's what I want you to do. I said, whoo, that's good. Thank you, sir. But I get nervous when I get up here in front of people, when I get God's word, because it's such a responsibility. Then when preacher got up this morning, and he said, I'm preaching on doors. I says, oh, that's what I'm preaching on. He said, turn to John 10. I go, oh, that's where I'm at. I said, now, God, did you make a mistake? Did I hear you wrong or what? But preacher just touched on it a little bit, and that was all. And I knew that if it was the same message, it would be different, and I would still preach it regardless of why. I was talking to the preacher, and I said, preacher, there's something about doors God wants us to hear today. I don't know what it is, but he wants us to hear something about doors. Because I'm talking tonight that Jesus is the door in John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 1 through 11. We're going to cover some of that. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And to him the porter opened, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. The parable of Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pastures. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. Father, we come to you this night. We're thankful. We ask that you'll be with us. And Father, we just ask as the Word of God goes forward that each one of us may apply to our hearts where it's needed. And Father, everything that goes on here tonight, we give you the honor and the praise and the glory. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. John chapter 10 here, Jesus is trying to explain to some of these people here that he is the door. And he starts out there in verse 1, he says, "Verily, verily," and anytime you hear the words "verily, verily," there's always been a conversation on before this, and he's trying to tell them at this time, listen, listen, very careful, listen on purpose, and pay attention. And in the previous chapter, verses there, we see that where the Pharisees had been professing that they was the guides, or they was the shepherds, or they was going to be the leader of the people. And Jesus, at this time, he made this comment to them that said that they was blind, and they was on a course, and they wasn't qualified to do what they say they was doing. And Jesus proceeded at this time to state the character of a true shepherd. Of a true shepherd, and to show what a hireling was, and to compare to what a shepherd was. And in verse 12, and he said, he declared that he was the true shepherd and the guide of his people. And then it says there that they enter not by the door into the sheepfold. In the ancient time, they had a public sheepfold. And as they would come into town on occasion, they could put their sheep into this sheepfold, and there was a porter that would take care of them. Then the men could go and do something and then come back the next day and get their sheep out. And the porter at this time that was watching, there was no door as we would see a door on here. He would lay in front of the sheepfold to keep the sheep in. And then it says that as the owners would come back the next day, the shepherd, then they would go in and proceed and get their sheep. Now, Jesus proclaiming that he is the door, and Jesus is the door. And in verse chapter 14 of John, in verse 6, he said also says he's the way, the truth, and the life. And we'll see several different names that he is referred to here. And then the only way to enter in into God's church, you might call it, is by coming through the door of Jesus Christ. That is the only way to get it. All other ways, he says, they're a thief and they're robbers, and they can't get into there. A thief is one that will secretly come in and take your possessions. A robber is one that will come in and violently, and if they have to, kill you and take your possession. And this is what he was saying that they was at this time, that they was thieves and that they was robbers, and they wasn't doing the part of a shepherd as they was supposed to, and showing that he was the true shepherd. I am glad that Jesus is the door. He came legally, and all prophecy was fulfilled in the Bible that said would be fulfilled when he came. It said there that he was going to be born in the line of David, and he was. He was going to be born in Bethlehem, and he was. He was going to be born of a virgin according to the prophecy, and he was. All was fulfilled. It's interesting, though, that at the time Jesus came, the royal line of David had all but disappeared. And it had dropped back to the level of just being a peasant. And there was no royalty anymore. Jesse was just a farmer. And then you see where David was anointed with oil, and he did become king. But when Jesus was born, it had all rolled back to just a peasant. And Jesus was born a lowly carpenter, as the scripture said he would, just a peasant. And then it says he is the Messiah, and he came through the door. The door he expects us to go through. He goes through the door, and he said, anyone else trying to get into the sheepfold any other way is a thief and is a robber. You know, a lot of people today are trying to get into the sheepfold, but they don't want to come in through the door. They're trusting in church membership and baptism. They're trusting in what a preacher says, just live a good life, and that's all you have to do. They're trusting in things like that. But you know, you can be baptized you can be baptized in every baptism tank in Michigan. You can be the best church member there is, and you can be members of a lot of different churches, but without Jesus Christ going through that door of Jesus Christ, it is all nay. It is void. It is nothing. You became a thief and a robber when you try to get in any other way. And our job is, when we hear the gospel, is to accept the gospel as it is. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he is our door. He is our door to happiness also. Now, in verse 2 there, it says, he that entered any other way. I believe this is not referring to Jesus Christ at this time as the door here, but I think it is referring to preachers when it says it come by him. Jesus owns all of the sheep. He owns them all. Our preacher here has this flock of sheep, and God has entrusted him with this flock of sheep. It is a big responsibility. He is the under-shepherd here, and he is under the good shepherd, and he is to lead according as God has laid out plans in his Holy Bible. We've seen this morning about following instructions. If you follow God's instructions, as Simon did, he caught a lot of fish just because he followed instructions. And because he followed instructions, when he preached his first sermon at Pentecost, there was 3,000 people saved on the first day. He did it God's way. When you do it God's way, you do it the right way. And when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior by going through that door, you've done it the right way. And that's what God wants in our life, is do it the right way. In verse 3 there, it says the porter that's keeping watch at this time, the one that lays across the sheepfold, the porter here represents the Holy Spirit. And all the sheep that are in the fold belongs to God. They are his. And every pastor that then has a flock on the outside like this is accountable for that. And it says unto the Holy Spirit, and he's the one that opens our ears. He opens our ears that we can hear the gospel. And by hearing the gospel, then a person is born again. Now, he said he knows his sheep by name in verse 4. And he says, and they follow him. And I'm glad that we have a name that God knows us by. You know, when I used to have dogs, they had names. And when I'd go outside and holler for that dog, he would come. And then he would follow me everywhere I went until I went inside the house. I also had a crow, and every time I called for him, he'd come light on your shoulder. I don't advise anybody getting a crow. They're the biggest nuisance in the world, the biggest thief you ever had in your life. They aggravate you to death. Don't ever get a crow for a pet. But the dog would follow me around. And that is what Jesus wants. When we as Christian know his voice, and we are to follow him. And when we're in a service sometimes and we hear that still small voice when it speaks to us, and we need to react on what God is saying when he speaks to us. We may not like what he's asking us to do, but if we follow instructions the way he tells us to do, it will come out all right. Now, in verse 4 there, he said he put forth his own sheep, and he goes before them. God will never direct us to go and do something that he wouldn't do himself. He won't ask you to go in some place, and he says, but I'm not going there. Everywhere he asks each one of us to go, he will go before us, and he will protect us in that situation. And he's always in front of us. He leads us, and he protects us, and he watches over us. And it says, and his sheep will follow him because they know his voice. Now, I'm glad we know His voice. I'm glad that when the Spirit of God speaks to us, we know it's the Spirit of God speaking to us. You know, I remember one time, I hadn't been saved too long, and we had a bus ministry at the church we was at, and I went up to the preacher during the altar call, and I said, you know, I think God wants me to work on the bus route, but I want to be sure that it's God and not the devil. He said, the devil will never ask you to work on a bus route. And I thought, that's true, he won't, because he don't want to see anybody saved. And I did. I started working on a bus route then. But I'm glad that we know His voice. If I go into a church and I am looking for a church, and I sit out in that pew, and the preacher is up there preaching, and if he says you don't need the blood, the voice of God is speaking to me and says, you need to get out of there. You do need the blood. And I'm glad for that, because we can hear His voice. We know His voice when He speaks, and I am glad for that. We can depend upon that voice. And our Lord said, my sheep hear my voice, and I'm glad. In verse 5, it says there, a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from them. And, you know, I kind of had a little bit of a taste of that this weekend. My job this weekend was stripping and waxing. And I was working with a guy that's supposed to be a Christian. And he gets to talking this foolishness, you know, that has nothing to do with the Word of God, but he wants to make it the Word of God. I just got away from him. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear what a stranger has to say that contradicts what the voice of God has told me. I don't want to hear it. And I get away. And a stranger, he says, they will not hear. He says, they will flee from it. That's exactly what I did. I got away from it. When they say they're in church and they start contradicting what God has already told me to do, I flee from it. I don't want nothing to do with it at all. Then we have sometimes people in church that think they're saved, and they're trying to do the things that a Christian would do, but they don't know the voice of God. They haven't heard the voice of God. They don't understand it. And in verse 6 there, it says Jesus is still speaking, and he says the people still are not understanding what I'm saying. As he's speaking to this crowd, they're still not understanding what he's trying to tell them. He's trying to tell them that he is the door, he is the way of salvation, he is the way that Israel should follow now, that he is divine. But yet they still was not getting it. And the Lord said to, you know, in Matthew 13:9, he says, those that have ears, let them hear. And, you know, it's possible to have ears and not to hear. If you don't believe it, just ask your wives. They'll tell you that we have ears and we just don't hear sometimes. We don't pay too much attention. But they have a way to get in our attention, just like God does when He's speaking. Now, myself, I heard the gospel several times. And I was in the church. And I thought everything was ducky. We had just got started. And I remember when I was little, I went up to the front of the church, and the preacher said, anybody that wants to go to heaven, come forward. I went forward. He shook my hand and said, this young man came forward. And that was it. You know, I found out later when I got into a real gospel preaching church, that wasn't what it all was about. I still wanted to go to heaven. But as that preacher was preaching that night, and I'd heard him preach several times before, but that day I had ears that could hear what the voice of God was saying to me. And I went forward and I told that preacher, I'm not saved. And I got saved 33 years ago. And I wouldn't trade it for anything today. Nothing. You know, because one of these days, the lights is going to be turned out and we're going to see glory. Now, Jesus is still talking to the religious leaders at that time, and he even told them in John chapter 15, he said, I'm the vine. I'm the vine that Israel has got to come to now and attach to the vine. But they still had their Old Testament ways, and they didn't want to do it, but some of them did after the resurrection. Some of them did come and get attached to the vine. Verse 8 there, it says that that ever, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. Now, he's not talking about the prophets that came before him. He's not talking about any of those that was preaching the gospel. But he was talking about the religious leaders that was there and saying that they had the right answers and that they had the way and that they should listen to them and all the Pharisees and that claimed that they had and regulated all the religion and that they should listen to them. But he says, I am the door. And you, all the rest of them are thieves and are robbers that are trying to imitate him at this time. Now, in verse 9, he says it again. He keeps telling them. He says, I am the door. You'll see he repeats it there a few times. Jesus Christ is the way. He is the only way. He is the way out for you, and he is the way in for you. He has come not only to bring you life eternally, but he has come to bring it more abundantly. Now, we have eternal life, and now he's going to make it more abundantly. He's going to throw in a little joy, a little happiness, and a little everything else that goes along that makes our life complete. He's going to throw that in there too. Now, so far we see that the door into the sheepfold that represents the nation of Israel. Jesus was leading his sheep out of the Judaism at this time and out from under the legalistic system. And in verse 7, he said he was the door of the sheep, and Jesus is the door. He's coming again to set the captive free. And in verse 9, it says that Jesus Christ is the door, and he is the door both to the Jews and also to the Gentiles at this time. He is the door of salvation. And for any of them that want to enter in. Now, we have the freedom to go in and out and to find pastures. You go, when you have sheep, you take them where the grass is green. When we go in and out, we go where the pastures are green. If the Word of God is preached and taught like it is here, you have green pastures. That's where you feed upon. You feed upon that, and that's where we get our strength. And Jesus keeps reminding them that he is the good shepherd. In verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. There's another name he is using there. He is saying that I am the faithful and I am the true shepherd, willing to do whatever is necessary to defend my sheep. And he does. A good shepherd goes before his sheep. A good shepherd will give his life for his sheep. We had a good shepherd that gave his life for his sheep. And we serve a risen Savior today. This is the same shepherd that we're talking about that's in Psalms 23. The Psalms that bring us comfort. That's the same shepherd that we're looking at. And then he says that it's more than a harlan. A harlan is not going to watch over your sheep. You just hire them for a job. They're not going to give their life for that. Jesus is a good shepherd, one who can save and one who can keep. And you know another thing in the closing here, another thing about the door, and I was thinking about this afternoon, we have the opportunity to go through the door of salvation and enter into everlasting life. That has a good positive outlook on it too. One of these days, our lights is going to be turned out, and we're going to leave this world and go to one that's better. And that door, I believe, that's been in front of us, we have a little bit of control over that door. Because when we leave this world, who is coming through that door to get us? We have the opportunity now that when we go through that last door, who is taking us? I remember hearing a testimony from a preacher one time, and then I'll close with this. This guy never would go to church. Preacher was always after him to go to church, but he wouldn't go. He got sick, and he got very, very sick, and the doctor told him, you're not going to live very long. So as he's on his deathbed, he calls for the preacher, and the preacher goes there. And as the preacher gets there, this man is in the bed, almost literally screaming. He says, "Preacher, don't let them get me." He says, "Let who get you?" He says, "Don't let them get me. They're coming up the sidewalk now. I can see them. He's carrying chains. Don't let him get me." And all the time he's saying, "Well, I don't see anybody." He says, "Preacher, he is in the room with me right now. He is putting the chains on me." And the guy died and went into eternity. And you know, I believe with all my heart that at the time of death, you're either going to see the demons around you or you're going to see the glorious angels around you led by the Lord Jesus Christ. I do believe that with all my heart. You've heard people say they've seen the light. And I believe that we right now have a choice on controlling who comes through that door last. And we need to think about that. Our Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for being with us this night. We thank you, dear God, that we have a Savior that loves us and cares for us, one that will put his life on the line, and he did. And he died on that cross of Calvary that we could have eternal life. Father, I ask tonight that you'll be in our midst now as we start the altar call here. And Father, that if there's anyone here that needs to get things right with you, that will happen tonight. If we just need to pray about something or if someone needs to receive Christ, Father, we just ask us, this will be done, that you'll be honored and glorified through it all. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.